Welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, how's it going? You're the first one to the pre-show meeting this morning. Now I've made you deaf.
God, oh, it's going to be an amazing show. I can tell you this right now. First of all, I'm protesting by not going on Zoom. Second of all, these headphones were like lightly plugged in.
Yeah.
And then I just put them down hard and it really hurt.
Volume was up.
Yeah. And then I got the mute. So let's just start it right now. Also, had a double coffee already on my second one. Here we go. Let's get the Zoom going. And I've been in here since like 4:30 because I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know why.
Well, I thought it was just because there's an extreme amount of dedication that you have to this program, and that's what you've done coming in here. You're making sure you're ready to go this morning. I appreciate it.
I do love the program.
Yes.
I'm very committed to the program. Maybe it's because in Pigskin Pick'em, I got zero correct of all the football things. Zero. Got everything wrong. We all got the first half thing wrong, by the way, because the push goes to the house. So I go 1-5. I got my lock. Snoop didn't smoke.
At least on the performance part of it, he did not smoke. You were correct.
Well, that's right. Yes.
Technically, during halftime.
It was before.
I mean, if you actually bet that.
Whole day?
Well, no, but I mean, if you actually bet that with a book.
You'd lose.
You'd win if you bet my way.
Sure, if your way,
for sure. Yeah. So, but it doesn't matter because you went 3-3 with your lock, so I lose. And I have to wash Michelle's car.
I don't know what I did. Did I do good? I don't think I did good.
She didn't even care. She's like, you know what?
I do know, though, the Gatorade was blue.
Gatorade was blue.
Yeah, that was a called shot of yours, right?
Yeah.
So you, Michelle, went 3-3, did not get your lock. Man, and the funny thing is I win if Jamar Chase has 4 more receiving yards.
I know.
I win. Because you don't get your lock then.
I know.
And yes. But instead, I lose. Michelle, you went 3-3 without your lock. I can give the final standings. I mean, we're done with Pigskin Pick'em. We may as well just, take care of this right away, right?
Go ahead.
So the final standings, as now Microsoft Word's going to not work for me. So this is going to be awesome. The final standings. Just give me a few minutes.
Okay, we'll come up with the final standings at some point.
Like maybe the 8:15 segment, something like that. No, Michelle goes 3-3, no lock. So actually, Michelle, incredible record, but you ended up 10-11 on your locks in the year. So your locks went down a little bit, but you still did way better than us on your locks. So.
Yeah.
So you end up, I'm getting there. Yes. 3-3, 3 points. So, Michelle, 75-52, which is
pretty good.
A tremendous record. 85 points, 10-11 on your locks. Robbie, you go 62-65, 69 points. Nice for you.
Thank you.
7-15 on your locks. I go 59-69, not nice for me. 67 points, 8-14 on my locks. I lost by 2 points. Michelle, you let me know. I'll clean your freaking car, okay? Whatever.
I just got to get the new door thing first,
yeah,
and then we'll be
step one.
Oh, good. I get some time. Yeah, hopefully.
It'll be warm.
Hopefully, that doesn't happen until like April.
Congratulations, Michelle. Great year in Pigskin Pick'em. Unprecedented year in Pigskin Pick'em.
Guys, when we started that, I didn't even know what a spread was. I remember the first day we did Pigskin Pick'em.
That makes it even better.
And I'm texting my stepdad like, oh, my God, this is the first time I'm alone. We're doing the betting segment. Like, I'm stressed. Like, you need to help me out. Like, what do I do? And he was like, Michelle, just pick. This is what it means, yada, yada. So, to be honest, the first couple months, I think it was beginner's luck. But, hey, I'll take it.
It works.
This is the freaking NCAA tournament bracket.
Yeah, it is.
Based on uniforms.
Yeah,
you
based
win.
Which football team based on, hey, I think the quarterback's cute and drafting them.
Is that why you won?
No, that's not why I won.
You know your football. You won fantasy football.
Well, Aaron Rodgers was my quarterback, and I don't know that cute is the word I would use to describe
it. You love the slick back hair, Rob.
Yeah, it's looking great.
Yeah, he
looked real good up there the other night.
Yeah, man, he's freaky looking now, isn't he? I mean, I didn't think we'd go into that this segment, but Aaron Rodgers is hard to look at now. What the hell's going on with that guy?
Just get a haircut, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's all it is. Get a haircut.
Yeah, but it seems like there's a little fake tan stuff going on, too. Well, I don't know.
Maybe some conditioner in the hair, too. Well, man, that could probably help. Get some volume.
Well, when he's here in Nashville.
Wash it. Maybe wash it.
Yeah, when there's plenty of places to wash your hair in Nashville, man. You can go a lot of places. What'd you think of that game last night? Rams win the Super Bowl. 23-20 is the final score. You know, back and forth game. Ultimately, the defensive line for the Rams in the second half, when, you know, Cincy had a couple of chances to put that one away, and Aaron Donald and Von Miller and the front for the Rams just took over in the second half of that game. And ultimately, the weakness for Cincinnati, which is their offensive line, showed up in a big way last night. Joe Burrow, at one point, I thought he might have got knocked out of the game. What did he end up finishing with? 7 sacks? And he got hit way more than that.
Yeah, and I agree. When he grabbed his, I think, right knee, right? Yeah. Boy, that looked bad. Actually, both quarterbacks at different times, I thought maybe, uh-oh, you know, that could be an issue. You're like, yeah, who is the backup on either of these teams? I don't even know. But it was a really good game. I mean, I don't know that it'll go down as one of the all-time great Super Bowls, although there haven't been that many, you know, that are decided in the last couple minutes with a drive like Stafford and the Rams put together. You know, it's definitely a go for it validation what the Rams did, obviously. Yep. And Aaron Donald again, you know, reintroduces himself as good a football player as there is in this league. I thought Aaron Donald should have been the MVP of the game. Cooper Kupp, obviously, he gets it. He gets a couple of touchdowns. And Cooper Kupp, you know, I'll say this about this game too. I think if the Bengals would have won, then we'd probably be talking today quite a bit about Odell Beckham. Although, injury is part of the game.
Yeah.
But when Odell Beckham went out, the Rams offense was in trouble. You know, already no Higbee. Then you take out Beckham, and now you can easily just focus everything on Cooper Kupp, and they did. But finally, Stafford's like, I'm just going to force the ball to him. The no-look pass that he made to Kupp was ridiculous.
Yep.
And then, obviously, I'll say this, too, for all the credit the Bengals deserve, and they deserve a ton, I don't get how you're going to just leave things to Eli Apple at that at that moment.
No.
I mean, just someone else, you know, Scouron, sure. Even Van Jefferson, who, good for him, by the way, Nashville kid, he has a ring. But anybody but Cooper Kupp right there is beating me.
Well, it was amazing because the drive before for the Rams, I don't think they targeted Cooper Kupp one time. And I was looking around at McVay like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not throwing him the ball? And then I guess they got to the sideline and they said, you know what? We're going to throw the ball to Cooper Kupp every single play this next drive. And it worked out pretty well for the Rams.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a drive for Matt Stafford. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he had a couple throws in the game where I was just like, well, there's Stafford again. You know, everybody was talking about the interception, you know, right before the half of, well, it's like a punt. It's not that big a deal. It was 3rd and 14 from the 43. You get 6 yards, you kick a field goal. Like, you don't throw that ball ever. Yeah.
Or you throw it earlier.
Yeah, and, it was a stupid pass. So there were a couple of passes where I was just like, oh, boy, this may not end well for Matt Stafford. But that last drive, I mean, when you talk about Super Bowls, and Collinsworth was talking about this on the broadcast last night, you know, he said that was as good of a drive as he's seen. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but it was a heck of a drive by Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp, and it was pretty obvious that he was looking number 10's way every time, and that ended up being the smart way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good drive. Yeah, I don't know. How does it – I mean, it's prisoner of the moment stuff right there. It wasn't as good as – I can tell you it was not as good as the drive with John Elway against the Browns back in 1986. I mean, there's others that would probably be better, but it was – I mean, look, if you're in the Super Bowl and you're behind, you're down 4 because of a missed extra point, by the way.
Yeah.
And you have to score a touchdown. I mean, it's going to be on some list, you know. And Stafford, this run has that. He has the drive against the Niners. He has, to me, the big thing is just the big play to Kupp when it looked like there was no chance they're now going to win that game after choking away a huge lead at Tampa Bay. I mean, he has done a ton to just completely change the narrative on him. And I think validate people. I'll go ahead and, you know, take a little credit on this. People who, you know, you watch the guy and, you know, Colin Coward had this question this week. So this will be interesting for you to consider this. He's like, let's just go back in time and put Aaron Rodgers on the Lions and put Matt Stafford on the Packers. What's the result? I say Aaron Rodgers probably elevates the Lions more than Stafford does. He's better than Stafford.
Yes.
But I think Stafford wins a lot with the Packers.
Sure.
And they are very good, and they might win one. And I don't think Rodgers wins anything with the Lions. You know? And that's – even though he's objectively a better player, it's so much still about so many other things than that position. So – I think that's one of the things here. But also, I've just always believed that Matthew Stafford, you're right, he's prone to just the, you can't force that ball in there. He's prone to the big mistake. But he won so many games in Detroit that he had no business winning, and even getting three teams to the playoffs that he had no business, you know, and he had a game that he should have won in Dallas. I think a lot of people just kind of dismiss him. Yeah, he's not very good. If you watch the guy's talent is astounding. I mean, he was Patrick Mahomes doing the sidearm crap before Patrick Mahomes was known by anyone in this country.
Well, and the narrative on him is, I think, totally changed after last night, too. And we'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later this hour. But I did, as that game was coming to a close, I was like, oh, God, here come the officials. They're going to start throwing flags left and right, which they did. I thought there were two. And I guess they evened out at the end of it, I guess. So there's not going to be a ton of controversy today. You know, if the Bengals would have won that game, all we'd be talking about today is T. Higgins grabbing Jalen Ramsey's face mask and throwing him aside like a rag doll. And there's just no call there. And I thought the holding penalty on the Bengals to keep – that was third down.
Logan Wilson.
I thought that was an atrocious call.
It was sticky tag.
Yeah. So
the other ones were
– were good calls.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were two, one no call, one call, where I was just like, oh, boy, please don't let the game come down to this.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about this all week.
Yeah, for the most part, I thought it was a pretty well-officiated game. But, yeah, both sides have, you know, Bengals fans have the Logan Wilson hold. Had the Bengals won, Rams fans would be like, yeah, I mean, he grabbed his face mask and threw him aside and scored. still a great pass, great play, and still like Jalen Ramsey.
Man, they
weren't
times.
Afraid of picking on him. And that overplay late on the last drive, like, what are you doing? You can't do that. You're up three. You can't go for a pick six right there. He's still a great player, but the Bengals weren't afraid of him.
They were not afraid. We are off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, getting your reaction to the Super Bowl. The Rams win 23-20 last night. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Row here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Jeremy K. Gover for joining us in the last segment out from Super Bowl 56. A little airport action for Jeremy K. Gover this morning, coming back to Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we talked about the big drive, the big moment for Matthew Stafford last night. He fed Cooper Kupp on that drive. The Rams go down and score. They take the lead. And then Aaron Donald and company closed the door for the Rams to win their second Super Bowl in franchise history last night. Matthew Stafford in year one with the Rams goes from the Lions to the Rams and wins the Super Bowl in his first year out there in L.A. And we've talked about this a little bit, Joe Rexford, in terms of if he was able to get this done, how does that change the conversation around Stafford? And when you look at his numbers, could he have a case to be a Hall of Fame quarterback at one point? Now, there was a debate that raged online after the game last night, started by Jared Stillman, of course. And I saw you and him getting into it last night on the Twitterverse, which is always amazing to me.
I couldn't resist.
I love it when this stuff happens. What do you think now that it's done and Stafford has won this game? Obviously, his career is not over, so there's still a lot of things left to be decided on this front, but Jared seems to think there's no way that anyone should be considering Matthew Stafford even a potential Hall of Famer at this moment. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you think last night's game did for Matthew Stafford and his journey to a potential Hall of Fame induction one day?
Oh, it did a lot. It did a lot. And I think Jared's issue here is he misunderstands what it means to be in the Hall of Fame. It does not mean you're one of the top five at your position. I mean, you want to go through some Hall of Fame quarterbacks? I'll even rip one of my childhood heroes. Like, if Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame right now, Matthew Stafford's in the Hall of Fame. I love Dan Fouts. Love him.
Oh, we know.
Great.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. You look at his numbers. Now, you're talking about 43,000 passing yards in a different era, so that we do have to compare eras. So no question about that. But at the same time, if you want to nitpick on Fouts, you can say, well, that offense that Don Coryell, his coach, was ahead of the time. Also, he had an outrageously loaded group of skill around him. Whatever. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame does not mean that you're – I mean, dude, Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame. Joe Namath is a famous – he has one of the most famous moments in NFL history. He's one of the all-time characters in NFL history. He has like 50 more picks than touchdowns. There's nothing about his career that's Hall of Fame worthy. He won the one Super Bowl. He made the guarantee. He, you know, the AFL wins, all that stuff. Huge moment. But he did not have a Hall of Fame career. You can go through a lot of these quarterbacks who are in, and again, different era, so you have to keep that in mind. And that's a fair thing to point out. I mean, Norm Van Brock, you know, we got a lot of people in here who, like, everybody isn't, you know, Manning and Unitas and Elway and Brady. There's a lot of other quarterbacks in the Hall. Matthew Stafford now is, he was the fastest to like 30,000 and 40,000 and all that stuff. He's very likely, as long as he stays healthy, he's very likely going to end up in the top five in both passing yards and touchdown passes. And he just did what he did in this postseason. I mean, I don't know if he'll be first ballot. I think if that happens, I think there's a real chance of it, but he's going to get in. He's going to get in unless it absolutely falls apart from here and he doesn't do much more. I don't know how. Again, you have to have the context of what the Hall of Fame is, and I think Jared just, I don't know, doesn't get it.
Well, I will say, like, I saw some people last night saying that now he's in, like, if he retired today, he's in, and I don't buy that. Like, I don't think right now he's a Hall of Famer, but he's still going to play football. He's right. Still going to be around
exactly.
For a while, and look, he could win another Super Bowl. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are still on the table.
And if he does that, then there's no reason to ever talk about it, but... Yeah, I agree. If he ended it now, I'm done. You know, I think is he 11th in all-time passing yards right now? It is a different era. So
it is.
The numbers now are inflated from what they used to be. So that means less to be that, but I don't know. I still think it'd be interesting. You have these, you know, you have these guys who, because of their postseason, Terrell Davis is an example. Now, he won two rings, but it was a very short career. Doesn't measure up numbers-wise at all, but he was so dominant, you know, in that brief period of time, including the two rings he's in. It's not the exact same thing as this, but I'm just saying, I think it'd be a debate. He'd certainly be batted around if he ended it now, but I'm projecting him to keep playing, whether he wins another ring or not, to keep playing and be very good. And I think people see now. And look, here's another thing with Stafford. You know, people point, like, Jared's big thing is like one Pro Bowl. Okay. I mean, counting Pro Bowls is like one of the least important things about this whole process. His win-loss record is a losing record. But again, I just think what he did in his 1 year with a totally different organization that actually knows how to win versus what he did with an organization that does not, I think a lot of what he did coming into this looks different now to a lot of people.
Well, I do. And to that point, I mean, it looks different to me because I do think, you know, for me, Hall of Fame, like, you need to be top five in your position to me for an extended period of time to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, that's not always the case. And look, we've had this conversation about Eli Manning. Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. He's probably going to get in the Hall of Fame, I think. And you can make an argument he was never top five in his position. So it's not right. You know, like a hard and fast rule, I don't think. But I view Matthew Stafford way differently now than I did this time a year ago. Like, I've always known he's got crazy arm talent. I've always known he could throw the ball. I've always thought he's a good player. Like, I've never thought he was a top five quarterback. I kind of think he's a top five quarterback right now for sure. Now, he's not Mahomes. He's not Rodgers. I mean, he may not even be Burrow this time next year, but he's pretty darn good. And my viewpoint on him has changed pretty dramatically this year.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that the Eli Manning thing is definitely – That's going to be the big argument against him is like he was never – how many Pro Bowls did Eli Manning go? I don't know. But you got to remember when you're counting Pro Bowls, I mean like Scott Mitchell went to Pro Bowl. Sometimes it's like because you're replacing someone. That's not really relevant. But Eli Manning, that's the argument is like he was never one of the top quarterbacks in his era. He also does have those two rings though. I mean he beat Brady in
– And it's who he beat too.
Yeah, who he beat. Beat Brady twice, including a team that otherwise we would regard as the best team ever.
Yeah.
So I think Eli's going to be in. Beyond, and I know some people also say, well, it's because of his last name. But, you know, he also compiled stats, and it does matter. I mean, you have to have some longevity and statistical impressiveness. And, again, Stafford's on pace to absolutely have that.
You do. Now, I will say, and we talked about this last week, at some point, the statistic part of this, I think we're going to have to view differently because it's just such a different game now. Like, you know, let's say Marcus Mariota was the starting quarterback here for 12 years. Mariota would put up some numbers that Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are in the league just right. don't have. It's sure. just different. Like, well, it's yeah, just totally different now.
Yeah, you got to come. Sure, but I mean, if Stafford ends up top five,
that's when you get top five. That's different.
There's a whole bunch of guys that are still in quote unquote this era who aren't there. So, but yes, I mean, when you're comparing this era to guys in the 70s and 80s, you definitely have to keep that in mind. Totally different.
You know, those rings, they'll get you there pretty quick in the quarterback discussion in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, again. It's not a quarterback stat, and I think another thing that we see here is, you know, Sean McVay can help a quarterback.
Yeah.
But Sean McVay wasn't getting it done with Jared Goff, wanted to get – I mean, you just see there's such a big difference between those two, for example. That's not putting Stafford in the Hall of Fame, but I'm just saying. You know, he – again, and the fact that he made these plays – I just think a run like that leaves such an imprint. There are runs and there's rings, but, like, he – really did a lot to win this ring for them and came up at the most important moments of three of these games. He had to come up late with huge throws, and he did.
Huge missed opportunity last night for Eminem to either have a Stafford jersey on or a Jared Goff jersey. Didn't do either one. Was really disappointed by that.
That was really disappointed. That was. But, hey, you'll be happy to know that Brennan wore his Lions Stafford jersey to a Super Bowl party with his Lions hat. So.
Well, that's good.
Yay. Parenting fail again.
When we come back, we'll take a look at a brewing rivalry between the Titans and the Bengals that was fueled a little harder on social media last night. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Time for the Super Bowl MVP. Cooper Kupp. Eight catches, two touchdowns. Tell me about the last drive, how you and Matthew connected so well when it mattered the most.
Man, it just comes down to this team, the way we prepared, the way we loved on each other, trusted each other. I don't feel deserving of this. God is just so good. I'm just so thankful for the guys I get to be around, for the coaches, for my family. I don't know what to say.
Your journey from Eastern Washington to Super Bowl MVP. I think all the people along the way, how's it feel right now, man?
I just don't have words. I'm just so thankful for everyone. Everyone that's been in my life, that's encouraged me, has pushed me, has been there for me every step of the way. These three right in front of me right here, my support system. These guys that are standing out here, they've challenged me, they've pushed me. They've made it so much fun to come to work every day. I'm just so thankful.
Congratulations, Cooper.
Thank you.
That was Cooper Kupp last night, Super Bowl 56 MVP. After the game, his story is pretty incredible, that how he's gotten to this point, and now with Matthew Stafford has turned into one of the best wide receivers in football, had one of the most dominant seasons in the history of the NFL at the wide receiver position, and caps it off with a Super Bowl MVP. It's a heck of a season for Cooper Kupp. It's hard. It's going to be hard to top that one.
Yeah, it's not bad. he can do it all. I mean, that's the thing is he's, you know, in any sort of aspect, I mean, he can get behind a defense. He's tough over the middle, catches everything. Not a great passer.
That was not a good throw from him last night.
L.A. special, I thought that was going to be a big moment in the game, too. I mean, it was, but I mean, it didn't ultimately cost him. But I was like, oh, man. And the thing is with that play, if he does get it to Matthew Stafford, does he? I think he probably gets first down, but he gets obliterated on that play. So maybe it's better for them that he just sailed it and let Stafford continue playing in the game, I guess.
Probably worked out okay for the Rams on that point. You know, you could have made, you know, I heard people saying, you know, Stafford should have got MVP for leading him down the field. You know,
it happens that way a lot.
It does. It does. I thought Aaron Donald should have got MVP. You know, I don't have any, you know, big qualms with Cooper Kupp getting it, but Aaron Donald making those two plays, and it wasn't just those two plays that he made on the last drive for the Bengals. I mean, after they got in that skirmish really on the sideline over there between Donald after he shoved Burrow out of bounds, it kind of felt like for whatever reason Aaron Donald just came alive after that and was all over the place for the rest of the game. And I thought we got a pretty good lesson last night of how awesome he is. I thought Donald should have been MVP.
I do too. I mean, both of those guys were, you know, Kupp was, again, taken out of the game, a lot of the game. And he still ends up with 92 yards and two touchdowns. But, you know, late, obviously. That's why he won it. But I think Donald, same thing. I think the Bengals actually did a pretty good job on him. And maybe you're right. Maybe that's what it was. Or, maybe, you know, maybe it's just, hey, this is it. Every last thing you got. And, by the way, maybe this will be the last play of your career, apparently. He told Rodney Harrison that he's going to consider it. That would be a huge loss to the NFL for a guy who's absolutely at the top of his game and I think is one of the best defensive linemen in the history of the game. I mean, I really think he's that good. But 31 years old and 8 years, and I can get it, too. You've made the money he's made. I get it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do it or not, but when you know, I didn't see the comments before the game, and then Michelle Tafoya was on, like, right as I'm tuning in. It's like, yeah, well, could retire after the game. I was like, well, that was pretty casual. Wait a minute. Is Aaron Donald just going to leave? What's going on here? But, yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, that would surprise me if that ends up happening. But, you know, he could walk away from the game right now. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I started thinking about this on my drive in this morning, like, of defensive players that I've seen in my lifetime. Like, I never watched LT, so I don't have, like, a good, you know, obviously he was great, but I never watched him. You know, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Deion Sanders. Like, there have been a lot of really good defensive players. Reggie White, you know, a lot of guys you could point to. Like, Aaron Donald is probably as good of a player on that side of the ball as I've ever seen. Like, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm putting him right there. I'm putting him right there with Reggie White. Bruce Smith. I mean, I think both of those guys for years were just dominant edge guys. I mean, and Aaron Donald's right in that category. And then LT, you know, he might be a little bit different level.
Yep.
It's just absolutely unblockable and unstoppable and relentless and just did everything. But as far as an interior, I heard, I think it was Max Kellerman on their show that I always forget the name of it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
There you go. Thank you. He said he thinks Donald and Mean Joe Green are the top two tackles in the history of the game. So I could buy that. And, you know, like Mean Joe Green, not really a guy that I watched.
Right.
You know, he was before my time watching football, but that sounds about right.
Yeah,
right up there.
We'll see what happens for him hanging it up. I mean, you brought this up earlier. You go get Stafford. OBJ's in there, which, you know, it's tough to see him go down. I mean, I'm not a particularly big fan of Odell Beckham Jr., but I don't want to see anybody get hurt the way that he did. So that was tough to watch there. You go get Von Miller as well. I mean, we've talked about it. This team loaded up, and it paid off. Sean McVay and company, they win the Super Bowl. It's paid off for them. And, you know, to bring that conversation here, and I know we'll get to some of this coming up a little bit later, but, you know, if you're a Titans fan here today, you're saying to yourself, maybe the go-for-it way is the way to go. Like, how do you do that if you're the Titans? Knowing that Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback next year, is there a way to, quote, go for it without changing the quarterback position? I don't know.
I think it's been gone for.
I think it has, too.
If they're not going to do anything, then they have gone for it, and now I guess we'll see if it can, you know, if they can do enough around the edges to go further next year. But, yeah, this is a go-for-it that worked. Tampa Bay is the same thing. not only getting Brady, but they went out and got whoever he wanted and loaded up and won it. So that's what fans want, and that's what they should want, and that's what teams, when they deliver, I mean, it's just another example of why it's worth doing.
Yeah, and, you know, at some point, that's going to come up for the Rams. Now, they were talking about this earlier on KJM as well of, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be next year when the Rams just totally fall apart. Now, you know, Odell Beckham's a free agent, and there's no way they're going to be able to keep this core together that they have. And we'll see if Aaron Donald retires. Like, if he retires, that kind of changes what they are, yeah. I would say. So there's a lot that goes into it. But, you know, with Stafford there, you're going to feel good about, you know, the Stafford and Kupp combination for years to come, I would think, coming up here. So I don't know that they're going anywhere anytime soon. But, you know, this is regardless of what happens from here on out with Sean McVay. And, you know, he was making comments the other day about, you know, he'd be surprised if he's still coaching at 60 because, I mean, at that point, he'd been 25 years into coaching at that point.
Yeah, he's talking about his own retirement.
He's talking about retiring. Talking about retiring at this point.
Yeah, you live in L.A., like, you know what? The beach looks pretty good from here.
Pretty awesome over there. You know, at some point, they're going to – the downturn is going to happen with the Rams, but is anyone going to care now? You just won the Super Bowl, which, by the way, Stan Kroenke last night, I thought somebody was going to have to bring, like, a respirator out there to the – you just won Super Bowl. Do you have any excitement whatsoever? He's just like, yeah, well, way to go, guys. Appreciate you. Stan Kroenke, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe he knows how many people hate his guts wanted so badly for them to lose just because of him. It's another great reason to me. It's like, just, you know, keep it to the coaches and players.
Yeah. Especially first. Like, I hate doing this because hockey Twitter does this a lot, and it drives me nuts of the, you know, how you're supposed to do it, like the way we do it stuff. But the handing the Lombardi trophy to the owner first, I'm just like, eh, okay. Why don't you just give it to the players first and then go to the coaches and then go to the owner. It'd be great.
Just let the owner have a banquet for everybody the next day, you know? So many of them are so easy to dislike, especially a guy like Stan K, who, man, did St. Louis dirty.
Did you see the tweet from Nash last night of the Predators mascot? He tagged the Blues mascot. I was like, hey, congrats on the Super Bowl, man.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Well, hey, that's not as meanwhile, you got
Jeffrey Simmons and Quentin Spain yelling at each other.
There's that. And, I mean, Quentin Spain just, you know, Quentin Spain gets smoked. Jeffrey Simmons makes a comment. They go back and forth, and Quentin Spain got a little rough with it, right?
He did.
I made the mistake of retweeting one of Simmons' things, and now I still have Titans and Bengals fans screaming at each other my mentions. That was my fault. That was dumb. There's that. There's a lot that around the game. One, by the way, we haven't mentioned Van Jefferson, newborn baby.
It's a heck of a night.
Along with a trophy. So congrats to their family. That's a heck of a night. And by the way, we haven't talked yet about the thing that I was most interested in, nervous about, looking forward to. I got to say, man, I know I'm a Gen Xer, and so I saw some young people saying, I don't get it. I didn't like the show. But I thought it was pretty good.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Did you just say you were Gen X, Joe?
What's that?
Did you just say you were Gen X?
Yeah. What gen do you think I am?
I thought you were Gen Y. Gen X is like me.
No, you're Gen Z.
Oh, Gen Z. Just kidding. Sorry.
I thought you were about to call me a boomer. I was about to get angry in here. Yeah, I'm Gen X.
My bad.
Proudly. Young Gen X, too, by the way. Young Gen X.
I thought it was really good. I could have done without 50 Cent, like, suspending backwards from the air. Like, there were so many, like, you got so many artists to begin with. 50 Cent's fine. 50 Cent did not belong on the same stage as those people out there last night.
Yeah.
It's like, let's leave 50 Cent alone for this one.
That was interesting. And that's so as soon as that happened, you know, Katie was like, yeah, I heard that there were going to be surprises. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm sitting there like, oh, man, we're going to get Ice Cube out of here, aren't we? My mind started spinning. And then I'm like, Mary J. Blige, Method Man and Mary J. Blige, You're All I Need. That's like my favorite Mary J. Blige song. What if Method Man pops out there, you know? And meanwhile, I'm saying all this stuff loud, and I'm sure all the people at the party are like, how about shut up and, like, you know, listen
music.
To the music. Yeah, but I was nervous. Look, they played the obvious songs.
Yeah.
But you knew that was probably going to happen. They separated it out. I liked that. And they just sounded good. It was good. I liked the set. It was creative. And it was fun. I mean, I was smiling the whole time. So I would not put it ahead of Prince or U2, which would probably be my top two, but it might be third all time.
It was pretty good. I will say, I guess I didn't think about this coming into the game, but when they got out there, the whole stadium's lit up. And there's sunlight beaming through the roof. And I'm like, oh, wait, I guess with that roof, it's not going to be dark in there when the sunlight's outside. So yeah. It looked pretty cool.
It did.
It's good stuff.
It did. And, at least I got Snoop didn't smoke right.
That's true.
But he took a big drag right before he got on stage.
Can we talk about how Snoop Dogg just is so cool? He just gets onto stage and he's just like bopping. Like, it doesn't matter how old he gets.
Easy.
No,
he's way less cool now than he used to be.
And I agree with you.
I think he's still just his swagger just oozes out of his body.
Yeah, What do you have against Snoop Dogg?
I don't have anything against Snoop Dogg.
Old, yeah, so you can't be cool when you're old. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
Snoop can be old and cool.
I think Snoop's like exactly my age or pretty close to it, so he's very cool.
I would have thought you were younger, actually, though. So that's good.
Thanks. I mean, I don't know. I'll look it up. Calvin brought us.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Jeremy K. Gover, who was out there last night in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl festivities. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined shortly by Jeremy K. Gover, who was out there in L.A. last night for the Super Bowl festivities. He is going through security at the airport right
checking
now.
Checking his bag, huh? So. Come on, Gover. You check your bag? Come on, pack smart, and then you don't have to worry about all the
true statement,
stuff.
Have never checked a bag in my life. I've been on trips where I've been gone for more than a week. Always find a way to put everything in the carry-on. Never in my life have I checked a bag. Whereas with my wife, she'll check about three. So it's
so it evens out.
Yeah.
See, I'm like your wife, and I'm pulling out stuff out of my suitcase to shove into my carry-on because my suitcase is always overweight.
Yeah, I don't know that I definitely have not done a week-plus trip without checking. That's impressive. But, most, my work trips are like 2 days or whatever, so it's a gimme. That's easy. That's impressive. You go a week-plus trip with no checking?
Just reuse some socks, all that stuff. Find a washer somewhere.
I mean, you can do laundry on a trip.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Jeremy K. Gover. Jeremy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm great, guys. I'm here to break down the halftime show, and I hope that you guys are ready for it.
Well, we're just talking about it. What did you think of the halftime show last night? I know, Gover, that was right up your alley.
It was. I've been a hip hop fan since the late '80s, and me and Rexro, we go way back. And I was speechless. I think I tweeted, and if I didn't, I meant to say it, that if it was professionally appropriate for me to weep, I would have done that. It was amazing to be there in person and see legends, on the stage that never tour, by the way. I mean, Snoop does, but I mean, Dre never tours, Eminem never tours, Kendrick, I've seen him at Bridgestone, but, it's very few far between. And so, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was fantastic. What was the press box like? Was there any sort of a little bobbing of heads in the press box, or was everyone trying to keep themselves composed?
No, it was there was people. The media let themselves enjoy it. I'll put it that way.
Good.
So it was nice to see that. You could tell the people that had no connection to the music whatsoever. You could tell those people, but overall, it was great. Well, what didn't translate to TV, I don't think, when I got home, I watched it again. What didn't translate to TV was the fact that people, all 70,000 people in there, within reason, I guess it was 6,000 people, were singing along to certain parts of songs. And it unprompted, there's nothing to tell them to do that. It was very organic, and it was just an amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Well, Gover, what did you think of the game itself? For the Rams win 23-20, big drive for Matthew Stafford at the end of the game. What did you think of that game last night in Super Bowl 56?
It was great. I mean, it was a really cool Super Bowl to be a small part of, to witness and be there. Because, you know, so many times, I mean, you guys know this, so many times a Super Bowl game is, you know, a blowout, you know, or it's, you know, a couple possessions, something like that. So to having them trade blows, especially in the second half, because the second half was awesome because, you know, again, Cincinnati was down 13-10 and they came out and scored, you know, 10 points in 22 seconds. And it was just like, oh, all right, you know. So that set up the trauma for the rest of the game. So it was really, really great.
Tell us a little bit, Gover, about your role there. Like, what was your week like there covering this?
The week was crazy. Sorry, I'm checking my bags. Hold on, guys. I'm trying to fly home here.
It's all good.
It's a live radio. You good?
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Have a great day.
Don't say thank you. Don't you talking to us, Gover? Don't say thank you to them.
No. Come on, can't be rude. So the week was crazy. You know, I didn't get the whole experience. Like, you know, usually you fly in on Monday, and there's days and days and days of media, you know, media stuff and ridiculous questions, and especially here in LA, right? So, like, you know, all the kind of gossipy sites and Access Hollywood and all that crap, they're all here. And so they're going to ask all those questions. But I didn't get any of that. It was only virtual for Monday, virtual for Tuesday, virtual for Wednesday. But then the NFL Honors event was Thursday. And that was where everything really started. And it was really cool to be there on the red carpet with our mutual friend, Teresa Walker.
Yep.
And I held it down. And Mike Vrabel saw Teresa, obviously, right away and gave her the first question, which I thought was very awesome. For those who don't know, he always does that in press conferences for the Titans. And so it was really great. And then, like I said, the we had Saturday off. So I did some stuff around LA that day, saw some friends. And then Sunday, bright and early, got up at like 8 a.m. and I was in a car by 9 heading to the stadium. So, you know, it was a circus in and around the event. The credentialing process was like, you had to park 5 miles away from the venue and then somehow get to the venue. And then you had an hour to get back to your car before they towed you. And like all that stuff was crazy. But overall, it was just to be able to experience it at all is a blessing. And, it was just, and then again, to have that halftime show, to have that game too, to have the story of the Bengals and how they kind of survived the entire time and almost pulled it out again at the ultimate game. And it was just an all around great, great experience.
What was SoFi like? Because I mean, I thought, and Ryan Porth tweeted this out last night, between the kind of the jersey differences between both teams and the stadium itself, maybe the most aesthetically pleasing Super Bowl of all time. What was that stadium like?
It was awesome. I mean, you know, like, I think Darren McFarland's been on these airways talking about how great the Titans press box is, for those who don't know, and, you know, compared to around the league. And SoFi puts it to shame. Even if it's, because, you know, sometimes the new stadiums, you know, they put the press way up, at the, you know, in the rafters, you know. And, you know, the press box was high up there, but, you know, it wasn't, you could still see the field, like, all of it. The actual stadium was surrounded by water and, you know, like, man-made, because it's L.A. and there's no water here. But there's, like, you know, there's a little lakefront, and they had a stage set up where the Chainsmokers performed for a pregame set of, like, 4 or 5 songs. And it was – the stadium itself was just – it's an experience in and of itself, honestly. You know, like, and some of these newer stadiums are, most of them are, but this one was – it just seemed to be, like – creme de la creme. Now, I've never been to, maybe Rex, maybe you have, maybe Robbie, you have. I've never been to the Jerry World down in Dallas, the new stadium there.
It's awesome. Rich
stadium.
SoFi blows
so,
it away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but so it's SoFi just seems like it, like it's the cutting edge, you know, leading stadium period. But I will say though that I saw Jerry Jones on the red carpet for the NFL Honors. And if he had got to me, I would have asked him, I would not have phrased it like this. But would have been like, essentially, does this make you jealous? Like, to see this stadium and then be like, oh, I got to go back and get me a new, you know, $15 billion stadium that, you know, that beats this. You know, he's kind of a competitive guy.
Jerry's going to go back with some dynamite. Blow this thing up. Let's build another one.
The screen's not nearly big enough. Yeah. We need to put a screen inside everyone's brain so they can't escape the screen. So, all right, Gover, what was the dumbest question you heard this week?
And
preferably tell us who
week.
Asked it to.
Well, I can't do that. It was virtual, so unfortunately I can't. I was not. I didn't witness it, to, you know, so I could look at their lanyard and be like, who the hell? You know, that wasn't that. But, yeah, but it was who was your high school crush? That was the dumbest question of the week. And I will also say.
For who?
To I believe it was Joe Burrow and C.J. Uzama.
Okay.
It got asked multiple times, which I think is why I retained it. So I was like, are you kidding? Is this like a thing you're going for?
So, it's really getting out there.
That was the dumbest question of the week. But again, if it was an actual media day in person, I'm sure it would have got worse. I will say this, though. The worst trait of the media of the week was congratulating the players on making the Super Bowl. It was every question. They'd be like, okay, let's go to John and with the Detroit News or, you know, whatever. And they'd be like, hey, Jamar, hey, congratulations on making the Super Bowl. How you doing? And he's like, fine. And then he asks like a 15-minute question. Like, Robbie knows my questions are long, okay? But I do that for context for the radio audience because I'm not asking for print. So I have to set up my questions sometimes. These guys, everyone to a man is like, how you doing? How you feeling? You feeling good? They're like, yeah, I'm at the freaking Super Bowl. I'm feeling great. Thanks. if you're not the first, question of the day, do not congratulate the player and do not ask them how they're doing.
Yeah, and even then, don't.
Yeah, just go.
No, right. But I'm saying, yeah. You kind of like, okay, you can get away with it if it's the first one. But, oh my, it was painfully frequent.
So it's like, so that's the thing. Sometimes someone will ask something like, or say something like that, and then everyone else feels obligated to. Yeah. Oh, that's mind-numbing.
This big, long process. It's great stuff.
Ray, hey, Russell in Boise, Idaho said it. I got to represent. I better say it, too, for my... no, you don't.
Yeah.
You save the
Please
rest
don't.
Of us. A lot. I mean, it's terrible.
Gover, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Sounds like a great time out there in L.A. Hope you have a safe flight back, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and I hope I brought a little levity to the 6 o'clock hour.
You did. You did. Did a great job. Jeremy K. Gover, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, was out there for Super Bowl 56 between the Rams and the Bengals. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Gover had to say there. Get into a debate that is now raging online, especially here locally, about Matthew Stafford. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.